all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, August 5th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the app or on social media or by podcast. We're glad you're here taking us along to start your week. I got a question for you. Has Eric Hovde called you lazy or worthless yet? I mean, the answer is yes if you're a nursing home resident or if you're a black man or if you're a farmer, if you're overweight, are you a young worker? Are you a single mom? The latest instances, plural, coming up from the Republican Senate candidate who appears to be auditioning more for right-wing talk radio than a United States senator is coming up just a minute in this hour's episode entitled, What the Heck is Wrong with This Guy? Also, we'll take a look back at a busy weekend at the Paris Olympics, including a race of tremendous accomplishment, but still bittersweet for Rice Lake's Kenny Bednarik. We'll continue to take our best guesses on who will be Vice President Kamala Harris's choice for running mate. I mean, the announcement could come any time now, today, theoretically, or tomorrow. And then in our second hour, we'll catch up with Heather Martell. She's a mom from Chippewa Falls. She has already shared publicly her heartbreaking story of needing a late-term abortion due to catastrophic medical issues. Now, she still wants to grow her family, but talks about the despair of watching Republicans target IVF as a way to bring life into the world. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us for a visit, as she does every Monday, and Selena Heller passes along some of the flavor of this weekend's Jackson County Fair, including, if you missed it, the discussion last week, the Demolition Derby with farm combines. And so along the way, if you'd like to join the show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text that number on your phone or through the Civic Media app. You can also comment on social media. And if we see it there on our Facebook or YouTube pages, we may put it up there. You can send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Hope to see Brittany Merlot back after being in sick bay all of last week. 6 a.m. temperatures right now across Wisconsin go like this. It's 67 here in Chippewa Falls. Hayward is at 57. Park Falls, 58. Wausau, 66. Green Bay, 70. La Crosse, 73. Wisconsin Rapids, 69. Oshkosh, 72. Madison, 74. Waukesha, 70. And there are showers and thunderstorms. Well, it looks like some pretty good-sized thunderstorms just rumbled out of southeast Wisconsin, but otherwise there's rain and possibly some thunder throughout a large swath of west-central Wisconsin moving into central Wisconsin, and we'll get full forecast details, he said, coming up in just a moment. But at the aforementioned Waukesha studio, we find Greg Bach. How are you, Mr. Bach? Let's just leave it at that. How are you, Mr. Bach?
I will leave it at this. I'm good.
Okay, good.
Goodbye, everybody.
As we engage the brain for asking complete questions and sometimes knowing when to stop, what was your main task this weekend?
Well, there was two tasks. I, first of all, fixed my toilet. Mm. And it wasn't like it was a clog. I had to replace a fill valve, which my wife, Bridget, who is lovely and wonderful, for all of Saturday was like, thank you so much. And because honestly, if you think about it, what cost me $30 to do probably would have cost $200 for a plumber to come in and do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, easily. Yep.
And but when everything was said and done and everything was like from start to finish, it was about 15 minutes of actual work. So when she's showering you with all this love, you're like, that's fine. But I really didn't.
Yeah,
much.
You did. You put the time in and the skill, and I know. Sherry and I have had to change out a fill valve, flush valve combo once.
Yeah,
and we're like, we can do this. Yeah. We got this. And I think Luke Mathers was our board operator at the time, because it was the, was it last year? It must have been last year because it was the entire month of August. We started in early August, realized we didn't have the right part. We had to get a different part. Then realized to get like this nut thing off the bottom of the tank, you needed like a special wrench, looked like the kind firemen use to open up fire hydrants. But we finally found one of those from our next door neighbor who has a tool for everything. And then, of course, yeah, there's the comedy relief that comes when you think you've got it back on tight enough.
Yeah.
And Sherry turns on the water, and I'm lying underneath the toilet looking up and getting water on me.
Oh, like, yeah.
Turn it off. It's not tight enough yet. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That happened to me, too. Well, not that specifically, but I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We've had our own plumbing issue now. Recall, it's been almost a month now since I talked about leaking in the basement.
Yeah.
And we finally got the shower head where it was broken and leaking. We got that fixed. But the valve that actually turns the shower on and off still has some kind of a leak. And this poor plumber guy, he has been working so hard to try to figure out this valve and how to get it fixed. And he thought it was all done, and we thought it was all done. We're like, yay. And he left, and we left on our road trip for the weekend. And we come back and realize, nope, it's still just drip, 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 drip. And so, yeah, plumbers, I don't envy you a bit.
Oh no. I mean, when I told my brother-in-law, he's like, how you doing today? I'm like, well, I'm fixing the toilet. He goes, a toilet fix. That's usually a two trip to the Ace Hardware. And he sent me that text after I just gotten back from my second trip to Ace Hardware, because I bought the fill valve. And the whole time, Pat, I'm thinking, this can't be that simple. I'm messing something up. This is too easy to be fixed. I buy the fill valve, everything is fine, and then the connector from the water from the wall to the toilet was broken. So I had to go back and get that, and then when it worked, I actually called my wife. I'm like, Bridget, come up here. She's like, what's up? And I just flushed the toilet in front of her. She goes, you did it. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take a nap now.
Well, yeah, it's a moment of pride. It's a moment of accomplishment.
Yeah, but then yesterday I mowed the lawn for like 2.5 hours in 85-degree heat. And that,
I didn't realize you had 40 acres.
No, I'm just end up doing the thing where it's like, oh, it's been 2-3 weeks. I got to mow the lawn twice on both sides of the house.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No. I've been there as well. So did you get much Olympic watching in?
Yeah, we watched, let's see. I watched some of the USA Japan women's soccer match. I watched, what else did I, I watched Novak Djokovic take on Carlos Alcaraz for the gold. Oh my God, it was such a good match.
Yeah.
Such a good match. I was so happy, because if you know anything about tennis, Novak Djokovic is not known for he's known for being more prickly than he is emotional.
Yes.
And this was the final. He even said it in
his post.
This
was the gold medal match. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And this was his final. Like, he's won every Grand Slam. He won all four in 2020. And in 2020, he went to the Olympics and got bronze. He was crying. He was almost weeping when he won.
He was. I saw that in the highlights, and I thought, wait a minute. I thought this is a guy that a lot of people think is a jerk or something. And getting the gold medal for Serbia, he was overcome.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of good sports that took place over the weekend here. I mean, just watching last night, there was the 1500 freestyle swim, and watching Bobby Fink set this world record was amazing. That 100-meter race with Kenny Bednarik from Rice Lake, running at a time that would have got him a bronze medal 4 years ago, would have gotten him a silver medal 8 years ago.
Yeah,
but he finished seventh this year. Jeez. Because everybody's getting so much faster.
Yeah,
I mean, it was such a photo finish. Of course, you got gymnastics, and one of the winning gymnasts was 32.
Yeah.
It's funny, because I started the Olympics saying, hey, we got to do something. We can't be having like 11-year-olds in the Olympics. There should be like child labor rules. It's not. It's going completely the other way, because people are staying fit longer, the way they can train.
Yeah.
And so old people of age 32 can win medals. So that's pretty cool. There was this race on Saturday, a 4x400 on track, and the U.S. team looked to be, well ahead. And then this woman from the Netherlands comes out of nowhere. She's like in fourth place. And I'm now again, this is, you know, you're doing the full lap of the track here. And she starts like in fourth. And it's not till almost turn four that she puts on the afterburners.
Yeah.
And you're watching going, is this real? Can somebody really do this? Well, and they do.
I think that's what Bridget said too, is she's like impressed by, or maybe it was Jane. I can't remember who said it, but they were impressed with the fact that that like last, you know, 5 to 10 seconds where they can just hit the button and just go harder. And you're like, yeah, I don't know. I like, cause you have to, I have to imagine you have to train that specific talent separately than just what you're doing. Like you're a runner. Okay. But all right, now we're going to work on how you turn the afterburners on when you really want to win. And I'm just like, all I'm thinking is like, I would just fall over. I would just,
I'd
run for about a solid 7 seconds. And I'm like, you know what? Just to be here is great anyways.
Well, because I mean, look, if you're told maybe hold a little something back, you can't hold just a little something back. What happens is the rest of the pack gets so far ahead of you that you can't catch up once you put on, you know, the afterburners. So yeah, these are fun to watch.
Oh,
and I still think they're packaged fairly well, sometimes a little heavy on the gymnastics and the swimming, but that's, you know, that's what most
that's
people
want to
watch.
Watching archery was very interesting. I watched the gold medal match for archery and I was like, this is so fascinating.
Oh, and then the American woman who won the bike race and she's only been riding bike for like a few years. Like, I just think I'll pick up this new hobby and win a gold medal.
Yeah, she's like, I started riding in Central Park. I'm like, shut up. All right.
Right?
But congratulations to her.
But yeah, and what beautiful, you know, scenery to do all that in. The NBC camera operator for the men's bike race winner captures it so perfectly. It's very tight on him as he crosses the finish line and then perfectly pulls back. And you get the full Eiffel Tower above him, and you're like, this is art, boys and girls. And there is an art to broadcasting, you know, these kinds of games too. So congrats so far. We've got one more week of this to go. We have found it very entertaining, and I did all this to not have to mention how the Brewers just did not.
Sorry, Pat, we gotta go to break.
Get it done against the Nationals. We'll tell you about that and unpack some more of the news coming up in just a bit on this Monday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. You are not going to believe what this song, Hang On Sloopy, has in common with the song Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo. I mean, I thought I knew music trivia, and some of you do. You're saying, come on, Pat, how did you not know? I'll tell you all about this in our history lesson coming up 30 short minutes from now. All right, let's see. No, Greg, that's Greece. What? Why did you say
Are you kidding me? I'm sorry. No. Listen. Dun, 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 dun. Summer loving. That's just summer loving. But actually, it's before summer loving. Okay. Sorry. Moving on.
It is. That's all right. So yeah, details on the common thread between those two songs coming up in just a bit. Oh, let's see. I'd left out the Brewers here. They have struggled, to put it mildly, since the All-Star break. And really, the only thing that's happened since the All-Star break was Yelich going out with, you know, a sore back. And they were doing well the last time he was out with an injury, but there have also been some weird decisions made, and manager Pat Murphy acknowledged that it was turns out to be the wrong call to remove starting pitcher Tobias Myers yesterday from the game in the sixth inning. He'd only made 64 pitches. He'd only allowed one run in the first inning, but they thought the bullpen was rested and thought they could get it done, and a 1-0 National lead quickly became a 4-0 Nationals lead when three batters singled off Hobie Milner. The Brewers ended up scoring 3 in the 8th, but that wasn't enough. The final was 4-3. The Brewers are off today. They are then in Atlanta for three games starting tomorrow evening. Then Wednesday, let me get that right here. Tuesday, Wednesday, and yes, Thursday. It's actually a Thursday morning game because they're out in Atlanta. Starts at 11:20 on Thursday morning. Then they're home for a long homestand against Cincinnati, the LA Dodgers, and the Cleveland Guardians. All of that at American Family Field. But again, the series in Atlanta will get going tomorrow evening. The daily newsletter for Up North News is available by going to our website, and that is, of course, upnorthnewswi.com, and click subscribe in the banner up on top. And Sweet Corn is Christina Lurie's theme today. She talks about some farm kids who go on to become farm owners of some of the sweet corn stands around the area and some of the farms. She outlines some of the can't miss sweet corn fests. And of course, up here in Chippewa County, you got to look next door to Clark County. You can't miss the Loyal Corn Fest. And then there's an article as well about things that Senator Tammy Baldwin has been doing for Wisconsin farmers during her time in office. And so for all that and more, click on subscribe in the top banner of our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. Well, Tammy Baldwin is touting those accomplishments even as she's being challenged by Republican and professional rake stepper Eric Hovde, who, as I mentioned before, has found a way to insult as many groups as humanly possible, except, I guess, rich white guys and out-of-state bankers and maybe men with mustaches that are cheesy. Those are the only groups I figure he hasn't insulted yet. And there are a couple of different examples here of what he's done and what he has said that has raised eyebrows. Now, one of them is going to involve some audio that we're going to play here in a bit that is right off my TV because the ad is fresh and new and isn't even on the Tammy Baldwin campaign website yet. But let me start by playing the one that maybe most of you have seen or heard. And it's the one picking up on Eric Hovde's comments about farmers. And they don't work as hard as farmers used to back in the day. Let's give a listen to how, when you know, we at Up North News were the first to pass along that story about finding the old audio of Eric Hovde's farmers clip. Here's the ad that the Tammy Baldwin folks turned it into.
They don't clock out at 5 or care if it's the weekend. That means we keep working too.
So when Eric Hovde says that farmers don't work hard, that pisses me off.
Think of farming. Look at the old physical toil that it would take on your body. Now you're largely driving around a tractor.
A California banker criticizing Wisconsin farmers for not working hard? We know what that is.
Eric Hovde, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
I'm Tammy Baldwin, and I approve this message.
So now the campaign has seized upon comments that he's made repeatedly about children born out of wedlock, as he likes to put it. And, you know, that single moms. Well, listen to the ad from Tammy Baldwin. This is how Eric Hovde describes single moms and how people like me, the children of single moms, are responding.
Tammy Baldwin, I approve this message.
I'm the proud son of a single mom.
My mom worked nights to provide for us.
My mom worked 80 hours a week.
But Eric Hovde thinks if you have a single mom, you're going to be poor or a drug addict?
That is a direct path to a life of poverty. It leads to higher drug rates.
That just shows Eric Hovde is ignorant.
Come on, I'm successful today because of my mom.
I learned my work ethic from my mom, my single mom.
What is wrong with this guy?
There it is again. What is wrong with this guy? And again, it's not just them. On the Urban Milwaukee website late last week, there was a column there from Bruce Murphy headlined Hovde Blasted for Bigoted Comments on Black Men. GOP U.S. Senate candidate says black men have lived on, quote, handouts and welfare checks. He was on a right-wing show in April when he said, quote, a lot of people in minority communities, particularly young black men, are moving in the conservative direction. They no longer want to just live on just getting welfare checks. They want to be part of the American entrepreneurial dream. And then he went on Fox News and said that young black men want to get off welfare. They don't want to be stuck with handouts. And of course, in 2017, he was on a different right-wing show and talked about the skyrocketing number of children born out of wedlock, and that that is what's destroying families. He talks about the need to turn the black community into entrepreneurs, opportunity zones where somebody, when somebody wants to start an apparel business or whatever, a service business or a barbershop. As for a reaction, Mayor Cavalier Johnson told Urban Milwaukee, the comments seem weirdly out of touch. Just what kind of handouts or welfare does he think black men are receiving? He's probably thinking of the old AFDC system of welfare. It was eliminated in 1996. It was replaced with the TANF program, Temporary Aid to Needy Families, and it's used by states to provide non-welfare services like educational services, job training, pregnancy prevention. Gwen Moore, the congresswoman from Milwaukee, says Eric Hovde's understanding of black people in America is informed by tropes and stereotypes. He is an unserious candidate and clearly doesn't understand Wisconsin's communities. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley called Hovde's comments deeply troubling, adding his rhetoric is not only harmful, but rooted in a lack of understanding of the systemic issues our community faces, and that there are real economic challenges in communities of color. But of course, all Hovde can do is criticize things like DEI, which actually are helping people to escape cycles of poverty and to find opportunities in the job market that they otherwise wouldn't have. And you can read more about this over at urbanmilwaukee.com in the Murphy's Law section comment, or columns rather, by Bruce Murphy. We'll unpack some more of the day's news and some of the weekend recap from Kristen Lyerly next. You're up north. There's Terry Clark. She had a lot of country songs in the 90s, and she has a birthday today. We'll have that and more coming up in our history lesson 15 minutes away. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, a regular presence here on Monday mornings for, how long have you been doing this radio show with me now? What, 12 years it feels like? 11, 12?
That makes it sound like heavy, like, oh, I can't.
No, I'm saying we cover a lot of ground here.
And we do. So,
yep.
It's a blast. I mean, how else would you want to start your Monday morning?
Well, exactly. So Kristen takes some break from the campaign trail. She's a candidate for Congress in the 8th District. Three Republicans running next week in the Republican primary, and she'll take on the winner of that for an open seat coming up in November. I made a big road trip over the weekend. You managed to get back to North Wisconsin after a work assignment. Did you add like a 100-mile bike ride or whatever it is you do to burn off steam?
It was like 54. We did bike to the beach over the weekend.
54. Of course it was.
We bike. But to be fair, there was a lot of food and great volunteers. It's this event called Bike to the Beat. We talked about it last year, where we bike from De Pere down to the Fox Valley and then back up again. And all of these folks are out having a great time. There's music at every stop. It's just a blast.
54 miles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this week, in a preview of coming attractions on the National Day Calendar, this is National Exercise with Your Child Week. You know, you could just go for a walk instead of biking 54 miles.
You know? I'm going to have to connect you with my child. That's the barrier right there.
Okay. Oh, no, I don't have a child. Boop, sorry.
Greg can't exercise. Sorry.
Yeah. I got one for you, and he's in Milwaukee.
There you go. She's got a spare.
I got a spare kid in Milwaukee.
Four boys. She can lend one, you know. We did actually kind of a lap around northwest Wisconsin. We started with a trip Friday up to Minocqua and headed to the Minocqua Brewing Company, where our friend Kirk Bangsted has some partners in the wine business. So not just the progressive themed beers, but now some wines as well. And so there was a bit of a party to celebrate that. So it was great to meet some folks up there, a lot of fans of the radio show and of civic media. So we really thank everybody for showing up there. And then it was off to Manitouish Waters. And I've not spent a significant amount of time in the Manitouish Waters area. There are some amazing restaurants up there. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them only open, of course, in season. But, oh, my goodness, we were at a place called Manny's Parkside. And it was incredible. It was just such a nice dinner. But then we had to go find where we were staying. And Kirk said, oh, don't worry, I'll arrange something. I'm like, how? I'm sure every room, every hotel, every cottage has been booked for a year. Well, he found us the basement of somebody's house. The guy couldn't have been more friendly. The guy's like, yep, the keys are hanging. But to get there, I mean, it was like 12 miles deep into the woods. Sherry at one point says, is this where the bear eats us? I'm like, no, a little deeper yet. Got to get further in. But again, they couldn't have been more gracious. They Airbnb like their pole shed. They made that up really nice.
Yeah.
And then they you know, did the basement has a separate entrance, you know, a little bathroom, kitchenette. It's got a hodgepodge of furniture and things in there. And he was like, yeah, this is their spare, like, you know, when somebody's in like dire straits and they need a spare room, they've got that available. So I feel like we found the last place that you could crash without doing it along the side of the road. Then it was up to Ashland for breakfast Saturday, to Superior in Duluth for lunch up at Canal Park, and then back down. It just could not have been a better weekend for a road trip. I'm sure you were probably out and about as well, not just riding 54 miles.
Well, then I took a nap in the hammock.
Oh, good for you.
Good. That's some living right there.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful weekend.
It was. I cannot get hammock time for a while. It would appear that somewhere in the thicket of grandkids and other people who were at the house, the hammock was received a terminal injury. Ooh, sad not to see a hammock there, but we'll work on getting that replaced. Somebody made an observation, and I'm sure it wasn't the first person, but that through North Wisconsin, through wherever you're driving up north, that they weren't seeing as many Trump signs. And somebody put up a post this weekend about seeing not nearly as many Trump signs. And I'm here to tell you that after, you know, what was that, 250 miles we calculated of driving that circular route from Chippewa to Minocqua to Ashland to Superior back to Chippewa. Less than 10 Trump signs tops. And it was nothing like that until, you know, a couple of years ago.
I'm excited to tell you that we, on Friday night, went to the Scandinavia Corn Roast and spent some time in Waupaca, and we saw more of my signs than we saw Trump signs.
There you go. See? Uh-huh. Good for you.
It's pretty great.
Tony writes in from Ashland. Wow, Pat, you come to Ashland and didn't say anything.
No, he's
right. It was a very spontaneous weekend. We knew we were going to Minocqua. That was it. And we said, let's just wait and see. And in the morning, we were like, well, should we go back to Chippewa or do this? Like, let's go to Ashland. So, you know, we stopped there quick. And then we got there and we're like, now what? The one thing I wanted to see that we did get to see was Amnicon Falls. Mm-hmm. I've always heard people talk about Amnicon Falls and the state park that's up there. And we got to do that. And it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
I really want to go to the Bong Historical Center in Superior. I drive by it all the time on my way back and forth to work. And it Richard Bong, so much respect. Incredible ace from World War II, Wisconsin native. Someday.
It's definitely on our to-do list as well. And, yeah, we got done at the waterfall. And we thought, well, we could go to Big Manitou at, what's it called, Pedersen State Park. But I read somewhere there was like a 5 mile hike in for that waterfall. And if I'm not biking 54 miles, what makes you think I'm hiking five? Yeah. And so we said, nah, let's go to Duluth. So we went through Superior. We passed by passed by Gronk's, where we stopped for burgers before. Of course, there's the Anchor Bar in downtown Superior. But we wanted to get right up there in the park and kind of see the sights there. Not nearly the political signs that there used to be. And I can't say that I'm surprised one bit. The vibe, as we always like to mock, you know, on this program, the vibe has definitely shifted. And once I think more Kamala Harris signs are available, once she chooses a running mate, I think you're going to see a veritable explosion of signs and other displays. You're seeing it in T-shirts and bumper stickers, too.
Yeah, like I said, I can confirm that's happening in northeastern Wisconsin as well. And when we see that in rural areas, that is a harbinger of things to come.
Yeah, and look, honestly, there was something there when Sage Weil started Civic Media. It wasn't that people throughout their rec were going to instantly shift and become progressives or progressives again, like much of northern Wisconsin used to be. It's just that they were tired of the same old, the same old right wing talk, and the same old automated, country music station or whatever. And you just give them some more talk about Wisconsin news and, Wisconsin road trips and things like that. And people are really responding to it really well. And like I said, at the Minocqua Brewing Company and other places, you definitely get a sense that people no longer feel as alone as they did to talk to their neighbors.
Hey, I think another thing is often those big Trump signs or those banks of Trump-ish signs and other, GOP folks. Hey, I think that's intimidating. And it makes people who have other opinions or, believe in different things feel like they're alone. And now that they're starting to see other signs out there and they're recognizing that they're not alone, even if they live in Pulaski or Iola, it really helps you feel confident in the things that you believe in. So the new maps have made a big difference, and the state candidates getting out and knocking doors in places like New London and Oconto. I know I'm saying a lot of northeastern Wisconsin places, but this is what I'm hearing from my friends who are out there doing the work. And the conversations that they're having with people are conversations that desperately need to be had and haven't happened in many years.
Yeah. This is the final week before the primary. There's a primary election next week. We have spoken at length about the two constitutional amendments that are on the ballot, which is why everybody needs to go vote next week and turn back these Republican amendments that would hijack federal funding. But to get back to the primaries, there actually are quite a few more than I was expecting. I counted 42 assembly primaries and 5 state Senate primaries, not to mention in 5 of the state's congressional districts as well. So, Kristen, you're not caught up in that, but obviously I'm sure you're telling everybody that they should be part of next week's primary election.
Yeah, we all need to get out and vote. Those constitutional amendments are actually incredibly important. And just remember, no is where you need to go. I mean, this really does kneecap our ability to respond in an emergency situation by using federal funds. If we need the legislature to agree on how to spend money, look at what they're doing with our PFAS funds that have been sitting there for how long, Pat?
Over a year.
Yeah.
Actually, it's now 13 months as of tomorrow.
Months. Yeah, people need relief. People are suffering because the legislature just can't get their act together. So is that what Wisconsinites want to happen when in the case of an emergency? I know it's not. So again, no.
One more primary note, and it's purely a personal one for me. I have said that there are 3 decent candidates, all Democrats, running in the 3rd Congressional District. The 2 leading candidates, State Representative Katrina Shanklin and Rebecca Cook of Eau Claire, are campaigning very aggressively. And I can now say, as my own personal opinion, too aggressively. And it's not, I don't know that it's the campaigns or their management or the outside PACs or their supporters. But closed circuit, and I've preached this sermon many, many a time, take it down a notch, because look, one of you is going to come in second, another one of you is going to come in third, and if you stomp your feet and walk away and don't do everything you can for the winner because the campaign got so negative, who needs to give Derek Van Orden a pass like that? Because Derek Van Orden is still saying and doing dumb things. Over the weekend, he makes a video of himself stopping by, I believe it was the Crawford County Democrat's office, where there was nobody there at the time. I'm sure they were all out knocking on doors or whatever. And he leaves a couple of Derek Van Orden signs and buttons at the front door as like a, how do you put it, like a gift of bipartisanship or something. No, that's litter.
Yeah. don't he's done don't that leave. Before too.
Yeah, I mean, what grade are you in?
this is just that intimidation that I mentioned earlier that, you know, like, it just makes me so angry. You're supposed to be working for the good of the people, but instead you're taunting.
Oh, but that's all he knows to do. And, you know, he's trying to tell you he's not the kindly grandfather that, you know, the media make him out to be. And yet, you know, local TV stations keep doing it. And again, I implore you to actually look at who this guy really is. All right. And just the short time left here, again, we're going to find out either today or tomorrow who the running mate is for Kamala Harris. But what kind of thoughts do you have on is there one that's a favorite that you're looking forward to seeing, or just a best guess on who she's going to pick?
There are so many good choices. I think it's going to be Josh Shapiro, though, because he brings Pennsylvania and he's got all the other stuff that she needs. I would love for it to be Tim Walz. He's just such a great guy and he's done incredible things in Minnesota. Mark Kelly, another extraordinary candidate. I mean, she can't go wrong. There are so many great choices, but I think strategically, my gut says Josh Shapiro.
It does from a strategic standpoint. I've certainly paid attention to the pushback on all these guys for various reasons. And the one who has the least amount of pushback is Tim Walz, but he also, you know, potentially brings the least because Minnesota is already a blue state. But I think there's just these intangible qualities to him. I mean, come on. He's the guy that first said, these guys are weird. Mm-hmm. and it's sticking because they're doing weird things. I mean, not just the Republicans. You got Robert Kennedy Jr. admitting to taking a dead bear cub to Central Park and staging something. I mean,
he's so weird.
He was going to skin it and eat the meat at one point, I think he says in the video. Like,
yeah.
He's a Kennedy. He could just buy some bear meat.
He's a Kennedy with brain worms by his own admission. When we come back, we will do today's history lessons. Alina Heller from Up North News will join us as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're Up North. Get to today's history lesson. The Rolling Stones kick things off with Miss You, the number one song this date in 1978. On this day in 1884, the cornerstone for the Statue of Liberty was laid on what is now known as Liberty Island in the New York Harbor. On this day in 1914, the first electric traffic light was installed in Cleveland. Boo! Selena Heller joins us now. Yeah, along with Whiskers, of course. Whiskers is getting a neck rub right now. And
yeah, really enjoying it.
Giving this look to the camera like, don't stop. No, seriously, don't stop or I'll bite you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Ms. Heller, how was the Jackson County Fair?
Oh, my gosh, fantastic. It was great weather, so we didn't get rained out too much, so that was nice.
All right. Celine's going to tell us much more about it at 7:30, including we'll hear from some of the folks that she met out there at the fair. And before I forget, Kristen, you're hanging around for the first half of the 7 o'clock hour along with Selena because we get to talk to Heather Martell again, who talked to us about the, you know, catastrophic medical reasons that she required a late-term abortion. Now she wanted to grow her family through IVF and now finds that that's embroiled in politics as well. And Kristen, you know Heather, and she was appreciative that you're going to stick around for this morning show as well.
I'm really excited to do the show with Heather. She's just an incredibly courageous woman and leader, and her voice is so important right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, I've got quite a character to talk about in the history lesson, getting back to that. Rick Derringer is 77 today. If you know the name, you know his big hit from 1970. Of course, this was a rock and roll hoochie-coo. And he's had quite a life as a musician, a songwriter, producer. How much so? Turns out, now this is from 1970. This stuff I just learned yesterday. Prior to that, as the leader of a band at age 17, he was brought in at the last minute to re-record the lead on the song we played earlier, Hang On Sloopy. That's Rick Derringer.
Yeah.
You know, they gave the group a generic name, the McCoys. It was Rick Derringer. A couple of years after Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, he produced Edgar Winter Group's hits like Frankenstein and Free Ride. When Weird Al Yankovic won a Grammy for the Michael Jackson parody Eat It, that was Rick Derringer who produced it. It was the only Grammy of his career. And the Air Supply song, Making Love Out of Nothing at All, that's him on the guitar solo. Very versatile career.
And he's become a cool dude, Pat, who's just amazing right now and has no problems, right?
Right. In 1997, Derringer said he became a Jesus freak, and he's been all over right-wing political causes. He's a frequent guest of Alex Jones and a supporter of Donald Trump. So happy birthday.
So right, Rick Pat? Derringer? So yeah, right?
Right, right. Born this day in 1943, Sammy Smith, who had this big 1970 Grammy-winning song written by Kris Kristofferson.
Take the ribbon from my hair.
Beautiful song.
Shake it loose.
It was scandalous for its time, for its suggestive lyrics. Like, take a ribbon from my hair. Ooh, you harlot! Sammy Smith passed away back in 2005 at the age of 61. American Bandstand went national for the first time on this day in 1957. Dick Clark would host the show until 1987. The first song the kids danced to that day in 1957 was That'll Be the Day by Buddy Holly. Nelson Mandela was jailed this day in 1962. Marilyn Monroe was found dead at age 36 on this day in 1962. Another birthday, singer Samantha Sang. Sang is her actual last name, but she was born Cheryl Sang in Melbourne, Australia. Her big hit was with the Bee Gees.
This was on my schmaltzy playlist.
Oh, totally schmaltzy.
Uh-huh.
Lonnie Anderson from WKRP in Cincinnati is 79 years old today. Marsha Brady, Maureen McCormick, is 68 years old today.
That's crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Marsha Brady is 68. Country singer Terry Clark is 56 today. Sad anniversary here. In 2012, the Wisconsin Sikh temple shooting took place in Oak Creek. The perpetrator killed six victims and then killed himself after being wounded by police. On this day in 1980, Pat Benatar released her second album, Crimes of Passion. This was the biggest hit off that album.
Hold on one second. It's not playing. Give me a second.
Okay.
Nope.
Wait, do you want me to sing it?
No, I'm fine. It's working now.
But don't take that personally, Kristen, at all.
Not at all.
Anyway, as Pat Benatar gets set to sing Hit Me With Your Best Shot, she also did a cover of a Young Rascals song called You Better Run, and that became a music video. And You Better Run by Pat Benatar was actually the second video ever played on MTV after Video Killed the Radio Star. So... on this day in 1974, Richard Nixon released the infamous smoking gun tape that proved he was part of the cover-up to Watergate, and he would resign later this week, 50 years ago this week.
You know, you can actually, like, rent out that hotel room in the Watergate Hotel.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I've passed by there, but I've never been in there. I remember it so well. We're watching the TV address and him actually saying it, and Walter Cronkite coming on TV and saying, "Well, there it is, Richard Nixon resigning the presidency," and it was just like you could not believe this was happening. And then when you watch how Republicans, you know, back then said to Nixon, "No, this is corrupt. You have to go," and watching the way things have gone with two impeachments of Donald Trump and January 6th and everything else. I mean, talk about the way things change in just 1 year. It's not entirely by accident, by the way. There was a lot of work done by Nixon allies in the intervening 50 years to set up a media ecosystem that would lead us to the place where we are today. And finally, on this day in 1981, President Ronald Reagan fired 11,359 striking air traffic controllers who ignored his order for them to return to work. The labor union movement in the country was dealt a severe blow back then, along for working men and women everywhere. When we come back, Heather Martell is going to join us to talk more about the right-wing assault on IVF, as well as reproductive care rights. Selena will have more about the Jackson County Fair. We'll talk to Civic Media News Director Terry Bell as well. All ahead on this Monday morning on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.